Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mommy, is it going to hurt? You could tell by the way the child asked the question that something was bothering her. Well, she was afraid. Mommy, is it going to hurt? Well, Mom, who had had more shots than she could have count on all of her fingers and toes, thought how she might answer her daughter's question. I mean, she could say no, knowing that that wasn't quite the truth. She could say, well, it'll be over before you know it, and kind of gloss over the whole poke in the arm thing. But she decided to simply and truthfully answer the question. She took her daughter in her arms and said, look, I've had many shots before, and I'll tell you truthfully, yes, it's going to hurt, but it's not bad. It's only going to last for a moment. Of course, then the nurse came in, cleaned the arm, and quickly administered the shot. The daughter scrunched up her face for a moment, but then saw that the whole ordeal was already over. Hey, what do you know? Mom was right. It hurt, but it wasn't bad, and it was over before she knew it. The little daughter filed this away in her mind, knowing that Mom had gone through this already. And when she goes through something, she's going to tell me the truth about what that experience was like if I ask her. That little daughter, that little girl, came to learn what we all know and what we've experienced, that when we're afraid, it's helpful to talk with someone who has gone through something similar before. The talking helps alleviate the fear of the unknown. Now, it doesn't lessen the personal experience of pain, but there's great comfort in talking with someone who has already gone through this before you and who has come out through the other side. At least that is when you're asking. Right? The other side of the coin is when someone tells you something is going to happen before you ask for their opinion or their experience. Well, such was the case with Jesus and his disciples. After Jesus had fed the 5,000, he and his disciples were traveling in Caesarea Philippi. And as they were walking along the road, Jesus asked them a question. Who do people say that I am? And they replied, well, a prophet, a teacher. Some say John the Baptist or Elijah. But then Jesus asked a little more pointedly, but who do you say that I am? And Peter pipes up, well, you're the Christ. Peter had answered rightly, but he didn't know or understand exactly what this answer meant. Before Peter could ask, Jesus then spoke truthfully to them all. We read, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And this he said plainly. This was not the kind of answer that Peter was hoping to hear. Rejection? Death? And what does rise again mean anyway? So Peter did what anyone who doesn't want to hear difficult news does. He puts up his defenses. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Oh, don't say it's going to happen to you. Often you don't want to hear from someone who has gone ahead, especially if you haven't asked them, and especially if the news that they share makes you uncomfortable or afraid. So it was the second time that Jesus talked about his passion. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But the disciples did not understand this saying, and they were afraid to ask him. They didn't understand. They were afraid to ask him. Now, I don't think that they were afraid to ask because they thought that Jesus was going to somehow belittle or berate them for asking a question. I believe that they were afraid to ask because of what it would mean for them as they followed Jesus. The 12 had been following Jesus. As he went before them, they had seen over and over again that when Jesus says something will happen, it happens. The time when they were on the boat and the wind and the waves were whipping wildly and they all thought that they were going to drown. And Jesus commanded the wind and the waves to be quiet. And look, they were. And that other time when they saw the man shackled in chains in the cemetery who was possessed by a legion of demons. And then Jesus went over to him and commanded that they come out of the man, possess the pigs, and that they all ran down into the lake and drowned themselves. And it happened. And all who saw the man, in his right mind, were then afraid of Jesus. Why? Because when he speaks, it comes to be. So the disciples were afraid to ask because of what it would mean, not only for Jesus, that he would suffer and he would die, but they were worried about what it meant for them as they followed after Jesus. Now look, sometimes fear can cause us to keep our mouths shut. Fear can cause us to bury our head in the sand. Fear can cause us to ignore the facts and what is to come so that we feel a sense of security. But the truth of the matter is that fear isolates us. It cuts us off from ones who have gone before. It cuts us off from hope in the midst of difficulties. Fear is a tool of the devil that he wields in attempt to cut you off from others, and most especially from Christ Jesus. Now, the disciples knew fear as you do. Jesus knew the disciples' fear as he knows your fear. And that's why we find him marching resolutely to Jerusalem. Because there Jesus would disarm the devil of the one tool that he held over all mankind from ancient of days, the fear of death. And as they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "Look, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Like a commander in battle, Jesus leads his men into the very heat of the conflict. Jesus knew exactly what lay before him. He knew exactly what would happen. He would suffer and die. But that would not be the end of him. He would march on into the fray, and the disciples would follow with awe and with fear. See, James and John, and the question they asked of Jesus, Jesus responds that they would drink and they would be baptized. They would indeed be drinking the cup. They would indeed be baptized into the baptism that Jesus was baptized with, not in the Jordan, but in suffering and death. They too, as they followed him, would suffer and die because they were following after Jesus. But that wouldn't be the end. See, when Jesus says something will happen, it does, just as he says. Jesus was delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. Jesus was condemned to death. Jesus was handed over to the Gentiles for execution on the cross. Jesus was mocked and spit and flogged and nailed to the tree. Jesus died, just as he said, because he served as the sacrifice for you and me and for all people. And just like he said, on the third day, he rose again to life. The man knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. And there was nothing more for the disease, nothing more to do for the disease that had affected his body. He had already endured the surgeries, the treatments, but to no long-term positive effect. Family called hospice, and it was all set. There were many hours when loved ones were present to hold a hand, to tell a story, or even better, to read from his Bible. But there were many more hours when he was all alone with his thoughts. What will it be like when I close my eyes and when I draw my last breath? Is it going to hurt? He spent time in prayer, recalling the words and the deeds of Jesus. He knew and he believed, he trusted that Jesus had gone before him into death and that he rose again on the third day. And so he recalled and recited the 23rd Psalm over and over in his mind, especially verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The faith that the Lord had begun in his baptism would soon be completed, for the Lord's baptismal promises to him would be fulfilled. Soon he would be buried like Christ. But see, not to remain in the tomb forever, but to be raised like Christ. Not on the third day, but on the last day. When Jesus comes again in glory, and the sound of the trumpet comes, and the dead are raised imperishable. Why? For when the Lord speaks a promise, it comes to be. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are always going to be things in this life that cause us fear, even as we are following Jesus. There will be painful things that will come along the way, whether they are physical, emotional, or spiritual. And they are going to hurt. But when compared to the eternal weight of glory that is to be revealed, these pains and fears, they will only be momentary. Know and trust in this, that Jesus never bids you to follow him where he himself has not gone first. You can be assured that Jesus has gone down the path ahead of you. He knows what causes you fear. And you can be assured that Jesus has gone down the path for you, to rescue you from sin, from death, and from the lies of the devil. He laid down his life in death to do so. And because Jesus is raised, you can be assured that he has come out on the other side, raised, victorious, living, never to die again, and so too will you. For he has spoken truthfully to you. And you? Well, you have been baptized into Christ, his death and his resurrection. You are a disciple of Jesus, and you follow after him. And yes, in this world you will have many troubles. But take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the risen and victorious one. Amen.